Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the black supremacist himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the Davy Duke partner that I have here.
Good.
His name is...
It's Sean Black back in the building once again. Hello, everybody. How is everyone doing?
I guess everybody's okay right now for the time being.
Yeah.
All right. Before I start the show, I know for the record, I said last week was our last week before the break. As I was trying to enjoy my vacation, Sean Black keep calling me and texting me nonstop, telling me we have to do a show. We have to do a show. I told him no. He keep telling me we are going to do a show. I'm like, okay, this is my show. No, we are doing a show Monday night. All right, so Sean Black wins. That's for the record.
For a change.
For a change, Sean Black wins. And so we have to do a show because there's a lot going on. I don't know where to begin. Or not,
yeah.
Ask somebody else. We have a special appearance by someone. We have the lovely Anitra B in the house.
Wow, he's being nice. What do you want?
Listen,
yeah, I think he's sober.
No. Remember, so Anitra B on social media, she posted that she was at a certain store getting tiki torches for something. I'm not messing with Anitra B, okay? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I will stab you with a tiki torch, that's right.
Wow.
Yes.
She's not going to burn you. She's going to stab you with it, which is probably more painful if she inserts it where I think she probably would put it.
Listen, the way she's been the last few weeks, she's been inserting a lot of things everywhere. Well, besides that.
Good Lord. Hello, Anitra. How you doing?
Unbelievable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a lot on your mind, there's something you want to say, any thoughts or comments, the telephone number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Anitra B. and Sean Black. The world's pissed off already, so does this continue, do you think?
Yeah, why not?
Yes. How about that the fire and flames and fury? How about that?
All right, no problem. All right, before we go to our main event topic, there's a topic that Sean Black and I want to talk about for the last 3 weeks. There's this trend. All right. As kids, I could speak for the four or three of us, we all done crazy things, stupid things, give or take. But it seems like lately these kids, as Anitra would say in the past, the people are bored, people love attention. You know, there's a lot of challenges going on in social media. Now, these kids are doing something called the hot water challenge. Which, I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it got started. I don't care. I just find it completely stupid and naive. It says that a couple weeks ago in Bronx, New York, there were a couple of teenagers invited a girl over to a sleepover up in the Bronx. And while she was sleeping, the girl thought it was funny to throw hot boiling water onto the girl while she was sleeping. Yes. So the girl, of course, got severe burns on her face and her hands. And she's in the hospital right now for the last week and a half or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I don't want to jump the gun. She is traumatized, and her face is basically destroyed for life. But it is severely burned. What would anybody would think? And, of course, there's another story of the hot water challenge where Sean knows more details about the one in Florida.
Yes. Yeah, but for Anitra... She sounds like she's completely perplexed about this because I'm pretty sure she probably hasn't heard about it. But yeah,
no, I've heard about it. I just honestly, it's so fucking stupid. I chose not to read it.
Yeah. It sounds like something that somebody would actually make up to try and make themselves sound like they are crazy. But we kid you not, this is something that happened, like you just said, Hot Rod, in the Bronx. An 11-year-old by the name of, I hope I pronounced her name right, Jaminisha Merritt. 11 years old, was having a sleepover, and she had a couple of other kids that were staying by that, as you just stated, decided because of the internet, because of YouTube and all the other places that a lot of this nonsense exists, decided to get a pot of boiling hot water while she was asleep and pour it directly over her face. So she now has second-degree burns on her face and shoulders. I would
not
be surprised if she's going to... Excuse me? Her friend poured the hot water on her while she was asleep.
And the crazy part is the friend did not like the girl that she invited for the sleepover.
Exactly. And wow. the victim thought that this was her friend. You know, she's my pal, she's my friend. And this is the kind of craziness that basically happens with, you know. Now, apparently, the daughters that were there, the daughters of the person, the mother of the person that had the sleepover, her daughters apparently were being accused of bullying the victim. So this is where this kind of stuff has happened, and apparently there were pranks back and forth between these two in the past where they pranked her, and this was one of the things that actually happened. You know, the other one that happened in Florida, which is even sadder, was an 8-year-old by the name of Kiara Polk. Now, she actually died because she was actually had to drink. She was forced to drink boiling hot water through a straw on a bed. This happened back in July 30th. We were going to bring this up last week, but we had so many different things going on as far as the show went. She lost consciousness after she told the mother's boyfriend, calling 911. She initially had scarring, I believe, on her in the throat and the esophagus, and they had to clear scar tissue away from her windpipe, and needed a tracheotomy, which she had trouble breathing and talking, etc. And eventually, shortly after she was taken to the hospital, she died 40 minutes later. Now, what's being looked into is the fact that between 2009 and this year, there were multiple reports involving the girl and her family as far as abuse happening in the house that may have been happening. But the fact remains, these kinds of internet things that we keep seeing pop up here and there where everybody believes that they're going to be internet famous for their 10 to 15 minutes of fame by basically deforming themselves, demeaning themselves and others for the sake of internet hits is getting tiresome and thoroughly disgusting. And I don't know where it's going to end. We would usually say, well, what's going to happen if somebody dies? Well, somebody has died. Is this stuff going to stop? Hot Rod, I think you know the answer to this.
Of course, and it's funny that I asked Sean Black last week, you think they do? Are people that stupid? Are they going to do the Bleach Challenge next? Sean Black told me, go look it up on YouTube. I looked it up. Last year, they did a Bleach Challenge where they were trying to drink bleach and see results from that. I'm like, how stupid can you be trying to drink bleach? And it's like, really?
Yes.
But I want to go back to the Bronx thing. I don't care how much you don't like a person. What would make you think to invite the person over to throw boiling hot water to see it as a joke at all? Now the poor girl that did the hot water, she's on suicide watch, but she's trying to commit suicide already because she knows she screwed up bad. She's 12 years old. She's going to jail soon. Or she's probably in jail right now. And there was also reported that the mother of the child that got severely burned She went after the girl and basically trying to choke her to death.
Yes.
Now,
yeah, she tried to choke her, and I believe she punched her a couple of times, too.
So, Anitra, if I did that to your child, what would be your reactions right away?
Oh, you would die.
I think the reason why I brought this topic up is people got upset with the mother. I'm like, listen, you guys know I love my kids. If anything happened to any of my kids, you know I would explode in a heartbeat. So basically, well, the mother has the right to go over and take action on her own, knowing that it's not the right thing to do?
I mean, realistically, the anger is of a different level. So even though it's not the right thing to do, you couldn't blame her.
True. But once again,
it's a catch-22. Because God forbid someone comes after your kids, you're going to see blood. It's a different kind of anger than someone coming after you. So even though it's not the right thing to do, people will be like, yeah, I don't blame them. I don't blame her.
Sean Black, you have to agree. You cannot be telling me that's not the right thing to do.
I don't have any children, but I definitely understand the sentiment involved. Definitely understand the sentiment.
It's like,
involved.
Sean, it's
got,
like
I
last night,
children.
If I took your keys, how pissed would you have been? if me and our friend just devoured that entire fucking plate, how pissy would that have made you?
I probably would have turned the table over. But in all seriousness, though, I have godchildren, which is obviously not the same as having children per se. But I do know that the same way that you have a daughter, Hot Rod, you have two kids. And they're both under the age of 4. So if something happened with any of your kids in that sense, if you told me you dove over a table and literally beat the hell out of one of the parents for having this happen, I definitely could understand where you would be coming from. As the expression would say, I'd be going to jail tonight. And that's what a lot of people's sentiments would be. The fact that people don't have the cognitive sense to realize that the stuff that you see on the internet is nothing to be done. It's just as silly as what used to happen back in when we were kids, when everybody would look at Superman or they would look at another one of the TV shows and then they would have to put a disclaimer, please don't jump out of the window, you can't fly. And what would we see every summer? Some kid mimicked what they saw on TV and decided to try and jump out of the window because they thought they could fly, and they ended up dead, crippled, or something along those lines. This is the same kind of deal where parents now have to be extra vigilant when it comes to raising their kids, seeing what their kids are looking at online, monitoring what they're doing, and reinforcing that by being there with them. I know a lot of parents that have kids that have cell phones and tablets, et cetera, they realize my kid needs to have their own space because it shows that that they're giving responsibility. Forget that. You as the parents are the end-all, be-all, and you trust, I would guess or surmise from what I would see, you have to trust what you have taught your child. At the same time, you have to reinforce everything as well, because although you may trust your child, you may not trust the other child, that the other friends of that child. And that's what we don't seem to have anymore, is that governing the expression, it takes a village to raise a child. We don't seem to have that that mindset anymore.
Okay. Now we have Fiddle the Fishman Fisher in the house, y'all. Thank you very much for calling in.
Oh, no problem. I figured this is your final show of the season, and given the topics, you know, I live 2 hours away from Charlottesville. I figured let me get on with you guys. But as far as the topic you're talking about, I just know when I was 11 years old or 8 years old, my parents said, you do not touch the stove or any appliances in the house.
Of course, when you touch something, you will get burned. Common sense.
Of course.
But I think the reason why I want to talk about this is because last night on Brother B's show, on the menu, he talked about people with a lack of common sense. And we always complain that, you know, people don't have common sense nowadays, especially when people are using technology like their cell phones out in the public. It's like, what made you possess? I'm sorry, I may not know these girls, like one that drank the hot water. What made you possess to drink hot water, knowing that it's hot, knowing that it will burn you? And what made you possess to throw hot water onto somebody? It's those two things that make sense at all. Yes, they are kids, but still, 10, 11 years old, they know something compared to my kids. They're 4 years old right now. Of course they're going to touch a hot stove because they're curious. But once they feel it's hot, they're going to run away and cry to me. I'm like, okay, but there you go. Now you learn your lesson. Don't touch the damn stove for the last damn time, you know.
Now, here's the crazy thing, Hot Rod. There are even worse things on the Internet as far as these quote-unquote challenges than the hot water challenge that we've talked about. There was, like I had brought to you and told you about the bleach challenge. There was one a couple of years back where people were dousing themselves in, I believe it was lighter fluid or, no, alcohol. They would pour alcohol on themselves and set themselves on fire and then jump into a bunch of water, which is...
Yeah, in the shower.
In the shower. And then people are wondering why they have third-degree burns and skin lacerations and all of the other stuff that goes along with a chemical burn. I mean, come on.
Well, once again, as Amisha will always say, people are stupid.
Yes, they are.
Talk about people. Whew. One of the reasons why our show has been very successful and been listened around the world by other countries, and Sean and I would thank you for our foreigners for tuning in. This country is nuts. It's full of craziness nonstop. Like I said, last week was our last show, but we can't take a break because a lot of stuff is going crazy. Like right now, perfect example, I cannot take a picture of me, but I'm wearing my Trump t-shirt right now for some odd reason. But,
good Lord.
What? Anisha B gave me this t-shirt as a gift last year.
Yes, I did.
But where should we go about Charlottesville? I'm sorry, what's the name of the place?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Virginia. And before I go into that, I was in my old neighborhood today, and I saw two pale white couple inside a black car, and they had the Virginia license plates. They look at me, I look at them, I'm like, you better not say anything right now because you're in the wrong neighborhood. Now's not the time to say anything. So keep on driving, all right? But, Sean, this is your segment. You want to talk about it? Take it away.
Well, I have had numerous amounts of friends of mine that listen to this show that have actually wanted to find out or very curious about my opinion about what's going on with what happened this past week with the atrocities that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the subsequent aftermath that have happened there. Without beating a dead horse and going over everything that happened, what I will do is this. The first thing that I will say is it's sad in our time is 2017, where we are still right now talking about quote-unquote homegrown terrorist groups. Racial inequality still is going on. And we have KKK. We have the alt-right, which is another section of the Republican Party that believes in white nationalism. We have neo-Nazis and all of the assorted racist groups that were protesting there. The thing that happened down there could easily have happened anywhere else. The same group that's responsible for the KKK rally that happened down in Virginia, they're going to be in Boston on, I believe, over the weekend to kind of bring the same message that they've had down there. My issue, as sad as it is with everything that has happened and all of the boiling pot of anger and vitriol and hatred that has happened there, the one thing that really pissed me off was the response or lack thereof of the President of the United States, whose voice is supposed to be the unifying glue that is supposed to reassure the public, especially down there where there was all of this brutality going on, where somebody was killed, one person killed because of a person by the name of James Alex Fields, who decided to take his car and run it through the rally and kill one innocent woman. Her name is Heather Heyer. And then there were two other people in a helicopter that crashed that were supposedly there by the names of Lieutenant H.J. Cullen and Trooper Burke M.M. Bates, who were there to make sure that there was some peace involved in this whole situation. Here's the issue. The President of the United States, 2 days after everything went down, had a quote-unquote press conference from his vacation spot in New Jersey and basically said, and I'm going to quote this here because it's something that he decided not to really go into too much. "We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides," reiterating many sides. That was Saturday. The most vague thing you can say, not denouncing who the group was, where the group came from, what they were doing, no names, nothing. It wasn't until today, Monday, where he basically said racism is evil and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. That's a whole 48 hours after what he should have said on Saturday. He waited until today. After all of the chaos that happened, to the extent that the president has his own manufacturing council, and two CEOs of prominent companies that were part of this decided to back away from his council because of it. One was Ken Frazier, who is the CEO of Merck Pharma. Now, Phil, you might know about this because you're into the pharmaceutical business. He's the head of Merck Pharma. He decided to get out of the president's manufacturing council. And instead of the president, who's been in office for 209 days, who always finds a way to tweet, he tweeted almost 10 minutes after this person resigned to throw this tweet at Ken Frazier, stating, "Now that Ken Frazier of Merck Pharma was resigned from the president's manufacturing council, he will have more time to lower rip-off drug prices." What the hell does that have to do with the racism and strife and all of the stuff that was going on between the KKK and other people protesting against that? One more CEO decided to drop out of the president's council, Kevin Plank, who's the CEO of Under Armour, for the same exact reason, for a lack of a response. Why did it take 72 hours for the president of the United States, who has always proliferated by not saying anything, this racist ideology to the media, to the press, to the public, without going on and saying something that would dissuade everybody from what is happening, to the extent that David Duke, who was part of the KKK, actually agreed with what Trump was doing, even though Trump, quote-unquote, said nothing? This is part of the reason why everybody is upset.
Okay, calm down. Calm down. I gave you 15 minutes. I'm pulling this clip. Calm down. But, Anisha B. and Phil, for what happened in Charlottesville, do you blame Donald Trump for this?
No. You can't just blame one person. I mean,
It's a
very frightening situation. I'll put it to you this way. Given I'm 2 hours from here, the media from down here has been all over it. It's a very frightening situation. And, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this, me, my mom, and my brother. We were talking about this earlier tonight. You know, this country was founded, you know, on the freedom of speech and so forth. And anybody can say what they want. I mean, that unfortunately, that includes these groups who are spewing hate. They have that right to say it, but for every action, there's always going to be a reaction.
True, but like, okay, what happened Saturday was chaos. You got protesters and KKK rallies, basically duking it out, fighting. They both don't like each other. They both, one preaching hate, one preaching against hate, but they're still fighting. So it's like double standard. What needs to be? You say no, but wasn't Donald Trump and his campaign back then last year trying to make America great again? And this is what these white supremacists, this white male, think of making America great again, of trying to take back their country?
Donald Trump didn't create these groups.
But did he preach it? But did he preach it or talk about
it? He preached it, but he didn't create what was there already.
Well, maybe just push the level, just push the button. And like, you know what?
You can't use him as a scapegoat. Everybody's got to take responsibility for their own actions. Those individuals chose to do that. You can't use them, as much as I can't stand our president, we can't use him as a scapegoat. You can't use him as an excuse. You can't use him as a scapegoat for this.
Well, you think
about
it.
That's just making another excuse. If it wasn't him, then what other excuse would we have instead of the actual problem itself?
Well, you can't think Obama. Obama's not president anymore. So
people would have a different excuse. These are excuses instead of people just actually looking at the real problem and trying to fix it. They'll make excuses. I'm sure he's going to be used as a scapegoat for this for eons to come.
He's not the scapegoat. But the problem is, if he is the president of the United States, he is supposed to set the example for the rest of the country, not necessarily saying one group or the other. It does not take 72 hours to denounce Nazis running around in the public and causing violent fights and riots through a rally. That is something that has nothing to do with Trump. Whatever anybody feels about his policy, that's not even the issue. The main issue here is the fact that Trump, because of the fact that he's basically made allusions to the fact that he agrees with this stuff by not saying anything. And by not saying anything, he leaves the answer he gave to free to interpretation instead of just denouncing it plain and simple. Because now,
but Sean Black, that's your opinion. Some people are.
But we all know he doesn't care. He just proved
exactly.
Why is this shocking?
He doesn't care, but it doesn't mean he supports it. Because that's your opinion, Sean Black.
No,
and that's
trust me.
That's opinion
it's
from
not
the
just,
media.
I'm it's not just
I'm
the
not.
Opinion. I'll give you this. It's not necessarily my opinion. Because that's just a drop in the bucket compared to what everybody else thinks. The issue is, as the president, when you go on to a quote-unquote press conference, which, by the way, he didn't even start by talking about the actual strife that happened. He started off by talking about the damn economy, which had nothing
yep,
to
you're
do
right.
with this in the first place. So that goes to show you where Trump's mindset was, and CNN and two other news companies had stated that was because the president insisted on that being talked about first. So that's one smack in the face to this whole deal. It shows the president, who is representing insensitivity of what the situation is that needs to be brought together as a whole to unify the country and let the groups that are there know that it is not tolerated. And by his lack of action and by his lack of vocalizing the opposition to what happened, as I stated before, it leaves that up for interpretation. So that fuel is then fed to the people that are looking for this as an excuse to continue what they're doing. That's the danger in that coming from the president of the United States, by not nipping it in the bud when he had the chance. That's the danger of that.
Hold on, Kato, I will get to you in a minute, but to Phil, how can you be a neo-Nazi and American at the same time? Isn't that contradicting to each other?
I think it is, because if you World War II, Hitler and everything. According to Hitler, you had to be blonde-haired and blue-eyed. That was the race that Hitler wanted. I mean, of course, we know my people were number one on his hit list. He hated the Jews. He hated African-Americans. I mean, look it up. No offense to you guys. I'm not, attacking you. I'm just saying
that's what
I was reading.
He hated
disabled people. He hated, gay people. Now, these neo-Nazis, they're not even really German. They're just, I think they're just people that idolize this guy, and whether you know it or not, if any of them would have been in his day, he probably killed them too.
Do you think this is a scary idea that you have young people that want to be neo-Nazis out there watching?
You broke up. You have to repeat that.
Hello?
Hey, okay, what were you saying?
No, do you find it scary that you see young white men out there, quote-unquote, being neo-Nazis? Like, what do they know about the history of Nazis and everything? But they're out there protesting, crying, saying that white lives matter. Do you think that's a scary moment right now, that young people are doing this thing out in the street?
Well, of course it is. And it's unfortunate, like the gentleman already said, that they're not even being educated properly on what it really is, which is sad because half of them would have been shot because they're not blonde hair and they're not blue-eyed. And that was the whole premise of the neo-Nazi when it was first created. Is he wanted to get, if you were not pale-skinned, blonde hair, blue-eyed, you were done.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, now, K-Dog, you're a neo-Nazi follower. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Phil, what's up, man?
How you doing, K-Dog?
How you doing? Hey, doing well.
All right.
Hey, Hot Rod, Sean,
Nitra B.
Well, you know what? I just got to say this, and I quote when I say this. What did we expect from a Donald Trump's presidency? Take a good look at what to expect from his presidency. I mean, come on. This was someone who re-energized the white nationalist movement in this country with his spewing of hatred towards immigrants, towards Muslims. And also, let's not forget the things he said about blacks before. Like, I want to punch them in the face and all. I mean, come on. As soon as this man was brought into the White House, it's been chaotic. There has been more and more attacks, hate-fueled attacks, on people going all around. Some of them are not even being reported.
I disagree with that part. I disagree because no cadets will say, this thing has been going on for years. Now with his witnesses in it, our times now.
Listen, I'm just saying.
Has things gotten better from 200 years ago? To a certain degree, yes. Most of us will disagree with you 100%. I know him for a fact, and you know that too.
Right. No, but let me finish. I'm just saying, recently, with all of this stuff, what happened in Charlottesville, they were all screaming, Hail Trump. And even the day after the election, an alt-right leader actually was having a rally saying, Hail Trump, with Nazi signs. Now, yes, racial violence has been going on for centuries, since this country was founded. It's been going on. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, now that he's given it, but he gave it sort of a boost with some of the things that he did. And also, like I quote Sean Black, like I spoke to Sean earlier, David Duke sent a message to Trump before he even made a statement and said, just remember that we helped vote you into office. You get it? See, that's what I'm saying.
So basically you're saying that he basically was a scapegoat for what happened Saturday. With the marches and everything, and the guy going crazy, wearing down people. Donald Trump's ticket speaker sparked the fire.
I'm not saying that Donald Trump sparked the fire, but with his rhetoric, he's given sparks to a lot of things that were happening before this, before what happened in Charlottesville.
Trump didn't create this mess, but Trump hasn't done enough to try to fan the flames away to get this thing cooled down. He's basically accentuating it by the rhetoric and some of the double talk that he's done in certain areas, and that's why it's the way it is.
That's what I'm saying.
So basically, you guys are saying there's more to come? This is an only beginning. So, okay, Phil, was this a terrorist attack?
You know, in one way, it could be deemed that way.
Here we go.
Will you give me a chance to say something?
Yeah.
Put you on the list. God, right away. You know, it's just, you know, it could be deemed one way a terrorist attack, because if you're going to protest, that's fine. But once you start bringing a car involved and start running people over because you don't like their opinion, then, yeah, it's out of hand. You know, Sean said, hit the nail on the head. Donald Trump should have responded to this right then and there on Saturday, condemning what happened. And if I would have been the president, I would have done exactly what I just said. Condemn the attacks, and if I would have had to, I'd have brought the National Guard in there to keep order.
But once again,
hold on.
Was this a terrorist attack? Yes or no? That's all.
To me, it sounds like a terrorist attack. It's no different.
No.
It's no different than 9/11.
No, it was a Muslim guy who had done the same thing. We wouldn't. Everybody would be on the case, and everybody would be attacking the Muslim people right now. And if it was a black guy who did it, oh, forget about it. Sean, Kato, and I would be dead right now. Anisha had to bury all three of us at the same time. Let's call it like it is. If it was a white guy who can't stand black people, who can't stand the Jews, he ran down over 19 people. That is a terrorist
killing
attack.
One person.
Another,
it is.
Killing
another,
one person.
You're right.
Another homegrown terror. So once again, the white man.
So that Hot Rod has got speechless for this one.
Wow, Hot Rod just got speechless.
Yeah.
Wow. But go ahead, Hot Rod.
No, I'm done. Go ahead, Phil.
where to start?
Oh my goodness, I was
like Rodney speechless. I'm in shock.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
But it could be done a terrorist attack, because it's like when 9/11 happened. Hell, Al Qaeda used airplanes and crashed them into the Twin Towers, killing people. So yeah, it could be. It's the same thing. Once you used a car as a weapon, I would consider that a terror attack.
Phil, maybe you have a different thought process on this than others may have. I will go on record in saying that this was definitely a terrorist attack. And I'm going to tell you why. It is the exact same tactic that ISIS has used overseas to kill many other innocents in such similar situations like this, where we've heard of people driving trucks into highways and killing numerous people. The premise of terror is to scare a group of people, whether they have power of government or whatever the case, to try to get government to change certain rules, certain laws, etc., in their favor by scaring people or terrorizing them into what they want. You remember Timothy McVeigh during the
Oklahoma
City bombing?
That was a
homegrown terrorist attack. The same person as the Unabomber who was going around blowing up people. All of these things are homegrown terror. Forget about Islam has nothing to do with this, whatever is the case. If you can drive a car and on purpose to kill people and use a one-ton or two-ton vehicle to maim, injure, and kill innocent people, that's terror.
Intentionally.
No matter how you slice it, there's no way around it, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Can I add something? This whole thing was a terrorist attack because, I mean, look at the neo-Nazi group and the KKK who were marching, and the way they were. They even attacked a counter-marcher. They almost beat this kid back. They beat this kid pretty badly, a 20-year-old who was counter-marching against them, and they even took pictures of it too. And when that driver, he intentionally meant to ram his car into that crowd, injuring 19 and killing one person. That is a terrorist attack. This is domestic terrorism that's going on right now.
And for the record, the Republicans have called this a terrorist attack. The Republicans have called out Donald Trump. And number two,
yeah,
we have been attacked more by homegrown terrorists than ISIS. Think about that.
Exactly.
In America.
Can I also add in something, too, when it comes to Trump, that his Republican counterparts were able to make statements before he even made a statement. And he came Saturday with a cheesy statement saying, on all sides, are you serious? This was a deliberate attack, deliberately by a hate group. And you waited 72 hours? Come on now. That to me shows poor leadership.
He doesn't care. This is not poor leadership.
He doesn't
care.
And you know what?
I was not surprised.
No surprise at all, because you know what, he showed you that he didn't care. And you know,
okay,
you're going to give
on.
An easy statement.
But,
yeah.
But as I like Anita's point, to Donald Trump, if he doesn't care, if this, technically speaking, if there's anything wrong with that, if we know the type of person that Donald Trump is?
No, we already know it. The writing's on the wall already of who Donald Trump is.
So why, Sean Black, why should we be upset about this then? If we know that he doesn't care, if we know the type of scumbag that he is, that this is what the people voted for, this is what they want in office, if he didn't say anything about it, like, he was forced to say something, so it make him look like a double liar, you know, what's the point?
No matter what has happened, there will be no satiety as far as what the result is, meaning.
Exactly.
If Trump goes out there and says what's supposed to be said, people are going to go get on him and saying, well, he really didn't mean it. If he does and he doesn't go out there and say it, then the same people that were waiting for him will just jump down his throat. His perception his perception has become our reality, in the sense that no matter what Trump does, this was an opportunity for him to, as he said before, I wanted to look presidential. I want to look presidential. This was an opportunity for him to do so. And not
and
only
he failed.
Did he not do it, he made it look so obvious and disgustingly so that even if he does the right thing, everybody will question the fact that was he coerced into doing it by his cabinet? Did anybody tell him to do it? Or did he do it on his own? I'm pretty sure there have been presidents in the past that have made press conferences about something that they did not personally care about, but knew that the good of the many outweighs the good of the few. And that is the selflessness that the president is supposed to portray. Forget about whether that's actually who he or she is supposed to be. That's what they're supposed to portray to the American people. When 9/11 happened, as many people could not stand George Bush, when Bush did his press conference and talked to the American people felt on some level at ease because he unified the country against something that happened. Trump has yet to do so. Look at what has happened with him in North Korea. He's not unifying anybody with that. He's basically
nope.
got into a pissing contest with Kim Jong-un, who has just as much of an ego problem as he does. So when your leader is the leader of your country that's governing the country you live in, can one, not be trusted, and two, cannot be looked at to lead, what do you expect to happen?
Okay.
You know
what,
Ron, pardon me for interrupting, but you know what, I just had to bring this up in the wake of all of this, what happened in Charlottesville, because I'm currently reading something that the neo-Nazi David Duke, the quote-unquote former member of the Ku Klux Klan, who did endorse Trump during his campaign, you know what? This is what he has to say, and I'm going to read it to you, and you guys have got to hear this. He said this: "This represents a turning point for the people of this country. We are determined to take our country back. We are going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. That's what we believed in. That's why we voted for Donald Trump. Because he said he is going to take our country back." That was from David Duke.
Yeah, but that's his interpretation of what Trump said, which is ridiculous, which is obviously a ridiculous interpretation of it. But
and that's the reason why it's so dangerous. That's why it's dangerous for Trump not to say anything and not denounce what happened, because people like that get to bring their interpretation of what was said and disseminate it against people that will relate to their base, and then they get on television and propagate that stuff. And then you end up with more jack-offs that continue to do more of this stuff.
And I can add something else, too.
Watch it, Steven, watch your language, okay? Watch your language, John.
Listen. Steven, oh, yeah, you want to hear something else, too? And, you know, they say all the while Trump continues to, you know, put his chief strategist, you know, Stephen Bannon, who we all know is the former head of Breitbart News, he has proudly boasted that he provided the platform for the alt-right, a fancy term for white supremacy in the digital age. So take a look
at something
that
we talked about months ago during the election process.
Yeah.
But guys, to Phil, you talk about the neo-Nazi protest and everything, but don't they have their right to go out and protest and march and say what's on their mind?
You know, that's the thing about this country, and that's what makes it great. Yes, freedom of speech. You have the right to say what you want, but at the other time, but at the other instance, yes, you have the right to say what you want, but every action has a reaction. Expect a reaction from people that do not like you, that are going to oppose you, that are going to rebel against you.
True, because the reason why I brought this up again, because in the video, the protest, they show the peaceful march of the protesters against the KKK with the police and riot gear, nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Compared to the KKK, there's pushing, shoving the police back, and what's happened to them? No one got shot. No one got beat up. Maybe no one got arrested. Imagine how the white supremacists pushing, throwing stuff towards the police, nothing happened to them compared to a peaceful march. God forbid a black person see a word, That person would be another dead body. Also,
yeah, of course. I saw a picture. You're going to love this. There was actually a picture of an idiot with a leaf blower on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? But also,
that's what I'm saying.
People not getting too upset about that, but Colin Kaepernick, once again, took a knee for a national anthem. The whole world loses its mind.
And
now,
the funny thing about it was for the most part about the stuff we're talking about now. That was a lot of the premise of the concept of the knee was against police brutality against African Americans, but also against the racism that we're seeing on display from the rally. This is the kind of cause that he took the knee for, and he can't even find a job in the NFL. Look at what happened. We already had three people killed because of a rally. And as I stated before, this is going to actually go to Boston, because they're going to take this stuff and have a rally in Boston, Massachusetts over
they're
the weekend.
Well, I hate to be the one to predict this, but you know what? This is going to go on nationwide. You understand?
So,
this is going to go on nationwide.
So Nietzsche, as a mother, I guess Nikki's older now. How would you explain this? How can you explain this to little kids today of what's going on in this crazy world? Like, if my son come up to you, Auntie Anitra, why this is happening? What's the best way you think to describe this to these kids to make them understand? Because as you see the other day, my kids, they play with other kids. There's no hatred between them. They play with white kids and everything. Yes, they have that place. You know, like, there's no hatred between them. Hatred is learned, of course. Racism is learned. So how do you think is the best way to explain that to the press?
You just got
to
keep doing what you're doing. I mean, like you said yourself, racism is taught. If we continue to teach our young that we're all, at the end of the day, we're all the same. There are morons everywhere, you know, so they'll view everybody as equal. And if when they have questions, you answer them. Like, he's a moron. Don't be like
But
you know
hey, leave my brother out of this.
I remember my former boss and my former job. He once said this about the whole thing about racism, about how he grew up. He He was an Italian, cool Italian cat. He said like this. He said, you know what his father told him about people? And that's how come he always looked at everybody the same. He says, listen, son, everybody can be an asshole. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. Just know that people are people and that anybody can be an asshole.
Exactly.
Just remember that.
Okay. And my last question. Yesterday, except for Phil, you guys saw the picture that I posted of the cop, you know, doing his job, doing throughout the KKK rally or the white white supremacist protest. And it's funny with like an oxymoron how a black cop is protecting the people that quote unquote hate his kind. And of course, you know, Milton, I say a few words. We're going back and forth. How you do you think the cop should have done his job or should have just walked away? Like, what? Why should I protect you if you hate me or you hate my kind?
I think he did the right thing. You know, he did his job.
Exactly.
He made an oath to serve and protect. There's nothing in
that
oath says you can you have your own opinion on doing this or that. He made an oath to serve and protect, and the man did his job.
Yes, he did.
It's just like a doctor. Think about it. It's just like a doctor. You know, if you have to perform surgery on a person that you don't like, you still have to do your job. You took that Hippocratic oath.
Exactly. I agree.
That's what's so great about the country from that sense is the fact that the person that is protecting the people that want him dead the most, he's doing his job without any issues at all.
We had that discussion with a friend of ours who happens to be a police officer. And, you know, I said like this, listen, he has to do his job. He has to do it. That's the oath of a police officer is to protect and serve regardless of the situation. Yes, it is an extreme situation, but
I said yesterday at school that we need to protect our own and make our own police force. Like, black people should make their own law enforcement.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, black people should, you know, basically look out for themselves. How do you feel about that, guys?
Okay, first of all, that mentality does not work, and it's been proven over and over and over and over and over again for decades. The mentality does not work. Why do people push crap that does not work? That's mind-boggling to me. It's like constantly saying 2 + 2 = 2.
It is?
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Listen, I have to disagree with Milton X on that point. I could agree with Anitra on that point because you know what? Hey, a people that is divided, you have to understand that, especially in the black, especially amongst, I say this as a black man, and I'm not, like I say, I don't have nothing against anybody. I judge people based on character. But when you look at the black race, unfortunately, we are divided. And you know, there are things that we should do to come together, but unfortunately, it doesn't happen. Now, as to say that we need our own police force, that can't happen.
But the Jewish people, Cato, have their own EMTs, their own doctors, hospitals.
No, they don't.
Jewish people,
that's a ridiculous
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. You can go to any hospital like Brooklyn Jewish or whatever. I'll give you an example. St. Francis Hospital out on Roslyn, Long Island. It's known as a Catholic hospital. Do you know how many Jewish doctors are in that hospital? They did that. When my mom had her bypass surgery, she had it at St. Francis Hospital, and her cardiologist who did the surgery is a Jewish guy. So there are plenty of Jewish doctors in that hospital. The same thing with Mercy Hospital that I think is on the edge of Hempstead in the Southern State Parkway. It's the same thing. And I'm sure in plenty of Jewish, hospitals, you have a lot of non-Jewish doctors that are in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's why I think that the notion is ridiculous that people do that. Like, really? And they don't. I'm sorry, but there are certain communities, like where I am, in my community, we have a security, but people pay for that service. If you want that in your community, pay for the fucking service.
It's that simple. I mean, like, it's ridiculous to say, oh, this one has it, this one has it. Oh, my God. Get off your lazy ass, educate yourself properly, and know what the fuck you're talking about.
Somebody should have told that to President Trump before he ran for office.
Exactly.
But before
please say that
I
to
wish.
Trump, because, yeah, he spoke recklessly, and, you know, that's why, you know, it's like giving in, and you lighten a fuse to, you know, to things happening.
Okay.
All this chaos, I believe, started with Charlottesville because they don't want the statue of Robert E. Lee being removed.
Yeah, that was
the start of it.
Well, you know, I can go back, you know when all this crap started, when people were saying, I'm offended by this, I'm offended by that. Mm-hmm. You know, and down here, you know, they have the Confederate flag and whatever, they have Robert E. Lee, you know. But, you know, that's their heritage. That's history. Unfortunately, it's history.
Okay, we got 3 minutes left. I just want to throw this last quick topic about a little bit of football and domestic violence. This past weekend, Ezekiel Elliott from the Dallas Cowboys. He's a running back, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He got suspended 6 games from the NFL for domestic abuse. All I want to say is, when Sean Tack asked me if this was enough, or was this was too much or not enough, I say not enough. If there's pure evidence that you put a hand on your partner in any sport, I could go out on a limb because this has been going on for way too long. They should be suspended for the whole season. If this happened again, it should be banned from the sport itself.
I agree.
NFL, the only thing I want the NFL to do is, you started with 6 games, when the next case, continue, be consistent with his punishment. If it's a 6-game suspension, so be it. Don't be like 6 games for this guy. Then, okay, Sean Black, he seemed like he hit his girlfriend, not too sure. Let's just give him 4 games. It doesn't work like that. Well, how can you give Tom Brady for deflecting his balls, quote-unquote, 4 games, and you give Ray Rice 2 games, then slap the crap out of his fiancé? That does not make sense at all.
It was on video, too.
You know why it doesn't make sense at all? Money. Tom Brady is a money maker. He is one of the poster boys for the NFL. And if he is not playing out there, nobody's making their money. That's what
the
it boils down to.
The optics involved, if there is an appeal, if something happens, it's going to make it look worse. Because think about it. After the Ray Rice instance that happened, after all of the other stuff with domestic violence and all of the other things that we've seen, if you get somebody like Ezekiel Elliott, who although has not been caught in a criminal investigation, as far as he hasn't done anything criminal, he hasn't been arrested, anything like that, but you give him 6 games, and then he goes through the appeal case and says, well, you know, I think we were a little bit too hard. We've been too stringent. We'll give him 3. How do you reduce a domestic violence case?
Exactly.
How do you reduce this? How the optics of that looks terrible. Based on what happened with Adrian Peterson, based on what happened with Ray Rice, the fact that all of this was collectively bargained, that the commissioner is judge, jury, and executioner, that is what they have, and this is what they get. 6 games is on the docket, stay there.
Okay, Anitra, if a case like that happens, should they be suspended, or 6 games enough, or you think there should be more punishment?
I don't care.
Okay, that's what
honestly, isn't it in their contract, isn't there like some sort of clause?
Yes,
there's a word for it, and I can't think of it.
Yeah.
They should be let go. But unfortunately, the NFL is all about money. So it's who you are. If you make them the money they want, the punishment for your indiscretion is going to be a lot less than someone who doesn't make them the money that they want.
Okay,
We gotta go.
There's 20 seconds left. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to The Absolute Truth. I'm The High Rod with Sean Black. I need you to be Phil the Fishman Fisher and K-Dog. Hopefully, Sean Black, let me do my vacation, continue. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all yours. Thank you, guys.
And say a prayer for Ric Flair while you're at it, too.
Yep. Prayer to the nature boy.
Good night.
Gentlemen, have a good evening.
Good night.
You too.
You too, Ninja. Good night.
We'll
everyone.
See you in September, hopefully.